Yesterday I endeavored to preach some from Ephesians chapter 4, and this morning my mind was still there. And again this evening I would like to call your attention to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Most primitive Baptists are very familiar with chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, because it really does, those chapters really describe in great detail how God has saved his elect family through the blood of Jesus. And we love that doctrine. I do. I rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ successfully saved everyone he came to save. And in that portion of Scripture, Paul describes how he quickens his children from death and sin to life in Christ by his sovereign power. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal more with our discipleship, our following in the footsteps of Jesus. So that's not quite as popular with some people as the first three chapters. But I really believe, brethren and sisters, the more we understand what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, the more inspired we're going to be to follow in his steps. So let's return again tonight to chapter 4 in light of the fact that our eternal salvation is by grace. You know, I mentioned this morning all the inventions that are taking place. You know, from the days of Adam and Eve until about the 18th century, the fastest transportation man had was a fast-running horse. And then they came out with the locomotive engine. People used to cross the United States in covered wagons. And then they could start crossing the country in trains. That was a big step in transportation. In 1903, the Wright brothers flew their little plane a few hundred feet, and 66 years later, men were flying to the moon. Now, that's a lot of progress as far as technology is concerned. And we need those things. We thank God for the smartphone, for the internet, what blessings it can be if we use it properly. But you know, this life is not going to last forever. Who's going to take care of eternity? I want to tell you, all the scientists in the world can't do that. Not Elon Musk, not anybody else. But Jesus took care of that for us when he died for us on the cross. So we're looking forward to eternity. I am, being with our Lord and Savior, with all of you in glorified bodies. But while we're down here, I want to enjoy my life. How many of y'all really want to enjoy life? I want to enjoy where I am on my way to where I'm going. And the way to enjoy life is to live according to God's instructions in Scripture. You know, if you got car trouble, you need a mechanic that can read the manual, the instruction manual, and know how to work on it. Well, God designed the human body. He gave us life, and we ought to be following the Bible, which is God's instruction manual. And chapter 4 of Ephesians has a lot of good instructions for God's children. This morning I ended with that verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't allow him into your mind, into your life, into your thoughts, into your behavior. Don't give place to the devil, because all he wants to do is to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. But then verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Aren't you all thankful that if people are doing something wrong, they can repent? They can stop? If a man is stealing, he can stop stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. And that applies to any bad habit that any of us have. Whatever that bad habit is, we can stop it. Let him that stole steal no more. but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's a wonderful thing to be able to work and have a little extra to give to people that are in need. One of the greatest blessings in life is to be able to give somebody something that they need and to have a little extra that you can do that with. And one thing that's puzzled me for many years is why other countries can see how blessed America has been under our Constitution, our form of government, why those countries will not adopt our Constitution and our form of government. Times I've been to Africa, I've scratched my head and wondered, why don't these Africans just say, we're gonna adopt America's Constitution. We're going to have their form of government. And then I believe this country has been blessed because of our form of government. It was an experiment when our founding fathers came up with an idea of a government by the people, for the people, of the people. In a world where they were full of dictators and kings and monarchs, it was a great experiment to come up with a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But listen, it worked. How many of y'all agree it worked? It did. Other countries could have that same kind of government, and the countries in Africa that I have visited have incredible resources, natural resources. They could be flourishing if they had the same kind of government and the same kind of moral standards that our nation had in the early days. But I can tell you, beloved, our form of government cannot last without people living right, living a godly life. And so if anybody is doing something wrong, let them stop and start working with their own hands. That which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. God has given us, the control of our mouth. We are to be the custodian of our words. It's up to us what we say. I've heard people say, I just can't help saying this. Well, now listen, that is simply not true. That's the devil's lie. You can help what you say, and we ought to ask God to help us to bridle our tongue. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You say, well, Brother Sam, that's just impossible. It is for the flesh. But I can tell you, a child of God who is full of grace and full of the Holy Spirit can learn to bridle the tongue and not let any corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. That's the third time in this chapter the Apostle Paul uses the word edifying, building up. It's wonderful to see people being edified by other people's words, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's wonderful, beloved. With our words, we can actually minister grace unto the hearers. Now, flattery is another thing. Flattery is not scriptural. The Bible warns us against flattering people. I remember hearing Uncle Joe Bryant say one time that flattery is like perfume. It'll do to smell, but it won't do to drink. And most of us will not turn down a little flattery. But I can tell you, don't get drunk on it because it's dangerous. When people are flattering you, they may be up to no good. But words of encouragement, genuine encouragement, that's wonderful. And God's children ought to be doing that. And then verse 30, Paul would say, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe the day of redemption is when Jesus Christ is going to come back and gather all of his children unto himself in resurrected and glorified bodies and take us to heaven. But we're not there yet. But thank God that even while we're down here living in these sinful bodies, we have the Holy Spirit given to us, which is our comforter and our guide and enables us to do what is right. And the Holy Spirit helps us to bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness and temperance and faith. And I'll tell you, we need a lot more of that fruit in the world today. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever been grieved? Somebody said something to you or did something and it just grieved you deeply, hurt you. Well, did you know the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, can be grieved? You say, Brother Sam, he's God. Surely he can't be grieved. Well, the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Spirit. Listen to these words. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. He's in us. And he's around us, and he is our helper, our friend, our comforter, our guide. But you and I can do things that grieve the Holy Spirit. When we say things we shouldn't say, when we, you know, curse. You know, beloved, how many of y'all enjoy being around people that curse? I can tell you, if I can get somewhere else, I'm going to leave. I don't want to be around people that are cursing, using the name of God in vain. That would be like them cursing your parents. How many of y'all would like for somebody, allow somebody to curse your mama or curse your daddy? You wouldn't tolerate that. Well, to curse your heavenly Father, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And you and I don't need to participate in it, and we certainly don't need to be around it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, saying things, using the mouth God has given us to say things that are blasphemous, that are wrong in the sight of God, or that tear his children down. Be very careful, beloved friends, how you use your mouth. I read the other day something about there's 10 points to controlling your tongue, and the first nine was say nothing. And number 10, be very careful what you say. Amen. That would be so helpful. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I don't believe God is grieved when we gather in his name, pick up this hymn book, and start singing Amazing Grace. That does not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's blessed. We worship him through singing the beautiful hymns of the faith. He's not grieved when you and I are praying to our Heavenly Father for our children, for our grandchildren, for our nation, for the sick, for the bereaved. The Holy Spirit is not grieved when you and I are showing love and kindness to one another. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You know, when Jesus went back to heaven, and I've said it many times lately, I'm so thankful my Savior is in heaven. I'm glad he's no longer the suffering Savior. If you love Jesus, you're glad he's not in this world being kicked around and scourged. The Bible uses the word scourged in reference to how they treated Jesus. And let me tell you, a scourging is a lot worse than a beating. A scourging took place with a cat of nine tails. It would have leather straps, and in each leather strap would be tied bones and metal. And a man trained with the cat of nine tails could lay it on a man's back and jerk it. And with one lash, he could tear the flesh. And they would give a man 39 stripes. And it wouldn't be long before the intestines would be visible. The kidneys could be seen. That's how they treated Jesus. They scourged him. How many of you all are glad he's not being scourged tonight? I'm glad he's in heaven. But he said, if I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send you $1 billion. No. He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And he'll be with you. And the Holy Spirit can be here, it can be in Arkansas, it can be in Texas, be in Africa, everywhere, all the time. How many of y'all believe that? I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe the Spirit of God is grieved when it looks down on all the wickedness that goes on in this world. May you and I not grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all, now listen to this, let, L-E-T. Now that word let indicates we've got something to do with it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Just let it all be put away. I'm going to go over that list again, in case y'all weren't listening. I know it's Sunday night, and I'm sleepy myself. I bet y'all are. A little tired. I hadn't seen anybody dozing yet, but I'm going to go over the list one more time. Y'all, are y'all listening? Let all bitterness. Boy, I want to tell you, bitterness will eat your lunch. You let bitterness take up residence in your heart, and I'll tell you, it will, you know, Paul talked about a root of bitterness that will spring up. See, a root is down there and you can't see it, but it doesn't stay down there, it springs up. And you can have a little bitterness, and if you don't get rid of it, it'll spring up and defile. I have seen whole families defiled by one person who was bitter in that family. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. When I lived in Augusta, Georgia, I was in an apartment. I'd never lived in an apartment before, but I lived in one up there for a while, and the family right over us, I'm telling you, the father, the walls were not thick, and I could hear him, and he was cursing his children. He was cursing his wife. I tell you, I went to the manager and told him about it, and they said, you go talk to him. Well, I wasn't in any mood to talk to him. We just moved out. I mean, it was a job to move, but I could not stay in that apartment where that man with that filthy, cursing his own children and his wife. And some of them didn't take it. I mean, it was ugly. I want to tell you, anger and wrath. Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Just put it away. And then he tells us, be ye kind one to another. I want to tell you, I love that. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, not hard-hearted, but tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I started a long time ago using that verse at the end of weddings. And you say, Brother Sam, you surely wouldn't read that to a bride and groom on their wedding day. Well, I'm gonna read it again in case some of you missed it. And be ye kind one to another. I'm talking to the husband and the wife, the bride and the groom. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And you might say, well, surely a bride and groom on their wedding day don't need that. But they'll need it before the honeymoon's over. Probably. Amen. I mean, let's just be real. We're all a bunch of sinners, aren't we? And Satan tries to get in there and stir everything up. But this will put him out of business. It'll slam the door in his face. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And how are we to forgive one another? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. How many of y'all think God has forgiven you? And brother, he's forgiven me a lot of sins. And he's forgiven me freely. He's forgiven me so that now the door to heaven is open for me because of the forgiveness of God and the precious blood of Jesus. So do you think now I've got a right to be down here mad with y'all and holding grudges when I've been forgiven everything? No, we're to forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. I hope God will give us understanding and put this into practice. Thank you all for your wonderful attention this evening.